If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Jordan Love, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
He is Alex Dunlap. I'm the Podfather. This is Content Kings, and we are going to kick it off with some business talk. We were taken to task by Alan Soslowski. Said, I listen to this show because it's different and it's business focused, and there's 17,000 podcasts that talk about their favorite fantasy player ADPs. And this is the one place I can go to listen to people talk about the business of fantasy. So we're going to get right into it. And Roster Watch, one of the unique value adds of Roster Watch, why you subscribe to Roster Watch, is the in-depth training camp analysis. And you actually go to training camp personally. And these are people with deep experience, like Cody and yourself, that go to these training camps. You've been doing this for more than 10 years. And talk about the value of actually going and watching training camp, the takeaways you get from there, because there are some players that, like, based on like what Byron told me about seeing a player X at a training camp, I can't get that out of my head. That stuff sticks with me.
It's also immensely helpful for preseason DFS. You know, just seeing which guys out there, there's always these dudes at camp that all the local media talks about and the beat talks about. It's like, this guy's making all the, he's probably not going to make the team. He's going to be a practice, you know, it's a guy they're hoping that they get to stash on the practice squad. And those are always the dudes that you want for the preseason DFS slates. But yeah, man, I think that it's just, these beat reporters for these NFL teams, we decided a long time ago, are cockamamie idiots for the most part, right?
We decided that.
Which ones are good? Nick Underhill?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know any of them.
Underhill's good. Name me the best, like, Dolphins beat reporter. Falcons.
I don't know.
Who asks the tough
Armando
questions?
Armando Salguero?
I guess I shouldn't say it about that. Armando's been on our show, and I like Armando. I just, man, they're just some of the Cincinnati.
Do they even have newspapers in Cincinnati?
Who's always breaking news out of there? Everyone in Cleveland is crazy. You know, it's like it's
the
just
Plains dealer.
Basically, man, like, and even if the reporters weren't so cockamamie, they still don't give us the information that we need to know, right? They're not writing for the fantasy football community. There are very few of them who really do or who really get it. I think like Mike Kay, and who now covers the Panthers, he's good about it. He understands it. He understands that there's a broader audience for this stuff than just the fans of the Panthers, than the people who want to hear a human interest story about your locker room conversation with Jalen Coker. You know,
I would love to hear that.
You would?
With Jalen Coker? Yeah, man. Dude, I was looking at the, so we'll get into this more later, but we just launched the biggest thing of the year at Fast Draft, which is our new full best ball contest, the Rabbit 15 rounds. Okay. And on fastdraft.app, we have the contest ADP section of the fastdraft.app website. And that shows you real-time ADPs and the trends and the ownership, like what's the ownership, and especially when you're drafting in round 15 or round 14 even of the rabbit, the ownership matters. When you're drafting in round 6 of the flex 4 game, ownership really matters. It's how you get leverage on the field, as you find these guys that have sick upside that are low owned. I was looking up Coker and his ownership, and I couldn't believe it. He's only 2.2% rostered in the rabbit game, where you can draft 15 players. You start one quarterback, you start two.
Completely your own volition. You got the wild hair of your you-know-what to go and say, you know what, man, like I have all this, I'm spinning all these plates, I run this big company, I got a million things to do, I got to make thumbnails, I got to do, but let me go ahead and let me go in here and check on Jalen Coker's ADP.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was looking at the ADP, I was looking at the ADPs, thinking about, well, because I can do a mock draft. So what we did is we created a mock draft tool where you can do dynasty mocks, dynasty startup mocks. And for new people, the nice thing is when you go to a tournament, you can always click start a mock draft, and you can do a mock draft first, and you can feel what it's like. You can feel what third round reversal feels like. You can see the ADPs. You can build a team that you love, and you can feel comfortable. And you're like, okay, now I'm ready to make a deposit. Now I'm ready to actually play. I've done a mock draft. And so that's what I do, because I can't actually play in the game. So I do a mock draft, and I'm in round 14. I'm in round 15. And a guy like Jalen Coker is the type of guy that I am targeting. And then I look up, and and we post this in the app as well. So when you're drafting, you can see the ownership, and it's 2.2%. He's right there. His ADP is adjacent to Taj Brooks. These are two players I want to talk about today. We're going to talk more about training camp and roster watch and why you guys do, but I want to talk about the Panthers passing game today. We're going to find a way to talk about the Panthers passing game, because I'm very interested in these Panthers stacks. And I want to talk Taj Brooks. But Jalen Coker, man, I would love to hear a human interest story about Jalen Coker.
Okay, fine. But the main point is, I don't care. Maybe you care. I don't. It doesn't have to be Jalen Coker. It could be about J.C. Horn, and you know what his family life was like growing up. It's like I don't care about that stuff. I want to know who's in the. I want to know who are the two wide receivers when they're out there in two wide receiver sets during team periods. I want to know who's working in at the slot. I want to know not just what's going on in team periods with the running back rotations. I want to see who's in there on third downs. I want to see whenever they go up and they run and they hit the sled, or they go through the gauntlet, or they whatever the shoot, whatever it is that they're doing. I'd like to see how they're actually lined up, how they're lined up in order, because how they're lined up in order is generally a great indication of pecking order. Whenever you've been, I grew up going to football practices. I spent my youth with the, you know, around football coaches, right, all over my family. Like whenever you go and you stay with your aunt that's a softball coach, right? Guess what happens after practice whenever she's a softball coach? Well, you go off with the football team and you watch football practice. It's like, it's just what I did,
right?
I played, and then now covering the Longhorns, I go to a ton of those practices and stuff. You get to learn the feel and the flow of practices, and they're just things you can begin to understand, right? And these aren't like it. We weren't getting the reporting that we needed out of these training camps, and we're just like, well, we have an entity now with, say, like, you know, SiriusXM, where they can get us credentialed to where we can just go to these events and just see for ourselves. Like we don't have to go to Roto World and see what people are saying about what's happening at training camps or trying to parse together this stuff. We can just go, we can see, we can find out who has juice, man.
Like Jalen Coker, were you guys at the Panthers training camp? Did you guys get a look at Jalen Coker last year?
At Panther, Cody was at Panthers camp. Cody always liked Coker better than anybody. He wasn't anybody we were drafting on the cheat sheets or anything. But certainly he was somebody that we were well aware of. We were actually well, I think Coker was at the Shrine Bowl as well. So they both Trashman and Cody had a little bit of exposure to him there. So he's always been a little bit of a favorite.
The player that Cody credits with essentially inventing their dog rating?
Juwan Jennings.
Wow.
Isn't that it? Is that not it?
Nice work. Juwan Jennings was the original dog of the dog rating. Cody created the dog rating because he was like, how do I properly value this guy? Nothing that he's showing in the stats and even his Senior Bowl performance, nothing quite really encapsulates what this guy brings to the table. We need to build a dog rating, and it's specifically originally for Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, and he didn't even want him now. He didn't even want him. He's getting his chance, and like we're doing the. I'm about to put up version 1.3. Cody. I'm about to put up version 1.3 of the PPR cheat sheet over at Roster Watch, and we'll have the rest of the cheat sheets like the Superflex, and Cody handles the standard and the half point PPR. He's kind of like the he's the caretaker of that one. That's his little baby. But the PPR sheet's kind of my baby, and the Superflex sheet. And he hates it when I run these mocks that I send to him, or these simulations where I get Juwan Jennings. You know, he's like, man, why do you take he thinks that Jennings is going at a point in drafts right now where he is, you know, he's shifting away and hoping he can get like the Brian Robinson Juniors or I remember the other day he was telling me that he would want to take like a Jordan Mason there or something. I go, well, but you could take Jordan Mason a few rounds even later. Like, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that area of drafts.
Listen, I respect the hell out of Cody, but he is, man. I told him this. I told him this on air. So this is something that, you know, this isn't a secret. I put it to him on the show, on the Sonic Truth podcast. I said, you did all this work building this guy up, the original dog, and now you have an opportunity to be out in front, the most bullish, to tie your brand to this player, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think of Juwan Jennings, you think of Cody Carpentier. And it's perfect, too, because this is going to be a pass-first offense, and he's going to be the number one receiver all year. Because when Brandon Ayuk returns, he's not going to be playing at a level that's going to be able to, you know, compete with target share with Juwan Jennings. Come on, man. This is the perfect time. You want to get it behind a Ricky Pearsall, second-year player? There's a guy with juice. That's a guy that's very exciting. He finished strong. He looks the part. He's got the athletic profile. He's got the upside for sure. I like Ricky Pearsall, but in terms of the de facto number one guy, the first read, the red zone target, the chain mover, literally everything. The everything, all-purpose, number one receiver, everything you want. It's Juwan Jennings this year. How can you not be out in front on this guy? It was a little bit offensive to me that because I'm like, fine. You want to throw – like if Juwan Jennings' face was on a flag, right, and they talk about in the military you can never let the flag touch the ground.
Right.
He is basically – he balls up this flag. He throws it on the ground.
You probably shouldn't in your personal life either.
And he walks away from the flag, and the Juwan Jennings flag is on the ground. Cody is walking away from it, and I have to run up behind him and like dust it off and try to get it clean and press out the wrinkles, and then I have to kind of put it up there in the sky. And I'm like, fine, man. You want to walk away from Juwan Jennings? I'll take it over. And I'll let this flag fly.
Well, comparing Jennings to Pearsall, and now I think we're getting to know that Brandon Ayuk, he's going to miss the beginning of the season, right? So if we look at Jennings right now and we look at Ayuk, so in early fantasy ADPs, the Yahoo ADPs for season long leagues are all over the place, right? But Juwan Jennings is going 104 overall at Yahoo, 75 at FFPC, 66 on Underdog, 99 on the Draft Wizard ADP from the Fantasy Pros mock draft wizard. As far as Fantasy Pros ECR, he's at 90. And then as far as ESPN early redraft managed leagues, Juwan Jennings going at 88.
Okay, so what are you don't need any of that. You don't need any of that, Alex. Now you just need the rabbit. Right, this rabbit best ball tournament is start one quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, tight end, two flex. Okay. It's almost 20% full already We had an incredible number of drafts rip off yesterday, which is, you know, in fairness, is Fast Draft Friday. So Fast Draft Friday, you're going to have more drafts ripping off. But, and I have people texting me, random people, people haven't talked to me in years, being like, I just played this rabbit draft of yours. Holy shit. And you need to get on there. You haven't drafted in the rabbit yet. I can't wait for you to get on there. I want you to text me your opinion of the rabbit after you draft. Juwan Jennings ADP in the rabbit right now. And again, this is
let me guess.
Down the middle ADP. This is a down the middle. This is not a third receiver. You don't start a third receiver. This is a quarterback, two running back, two receiver, two flex, tight end. This ADP should be as efficient as it gets at this time of year. Guess what it is for Juwan Jennings.
It's a seventh round ADP. It's 76.
62.
Early sixth round ADP.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So that's early, right? That's higher than even Underdog, man.
As it should be. This is where people are drafting him.
Is the rabbit PPR?
It's full PPR.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, if you just look at just the average ADPs across the sites that I mentioned earlier,
yes,
you have basically Juwan Jennings coming in around wide receiver, you know, around the same areas like Waddle and Jerry Judy and stuff. All right. So, you're talking mid-level, like, what is it overall? About 33, 34 overall, if you take all those averages, right? So
now what I will say in a lot of best ball ADPs, you need to discount Jerry Judy's ADP. Jerry Judy's going to go higher in managed leagues because he doesn't have a stacking partner. No one even knows who the starting quarterback's going to be. And I can promise you in the rabbit, no one's drafting a Browns quarterback. So because he doesn't have a stacking partner quarterback, his ADP, same with DK Metcalf, though people can conceivably draft Aaron Rodgers. It's just no one's that excited to do it. No one really cares. It's not something you set out to do. It's not on your agenda. So for that reason, Judy's best ball ADP is a little bit suppressed, whereas a guy like Juwan Jennings, one of the reasons you do love drafting him is because you love to stack him with who is going to be a prolific pocket passer. Those are the best. If you're going to load up like a double stack on Fast Draft in the rabbit, you're going to want to target pocket passers. So you're going to want to have Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams. You're going to want to have a Pearsall and a Jennings. That is because the way to go.
Just flash around and just go get 10th round Purdy. You know what I mean? And just like not even have to worry about it with a three quarterback build.
Or a little bit later, you can get McCarthy.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm interested in taking McCarthy and just manage leagues, but that's a whole other thing. But anyway, what I was trying to say about Jennings. So if you just think about where he's going right now as a kind of a mid to back end wide receiver three. Right, this is kind of where he's going. If you look at the averages, if we can just use the betting markets like DraftKings and Underdog and Prize Picks and stuff with the over unders that they've set for their season long stuff. Juwan Jennings on Underdog, he's sitting at 924.5 over under for receiving yards, 875.5 on Prize Picks. So if you're looking to take the over on Jennings, Prize Picks would be the better pick'em lobby than Underdog. But if you just take the average of those two. Right. It's exactly 900 receiving yards. He has an over under right now sitting at 5.5 touchdowns based on his historical averages as far as yards per catch, efficiency, all the rest. We projected him if we were just using the sportsbook stuff, which isn't always right. It's always a little bit less, always a little bit more conservative because they have to bake in the chance of injury. Right. But if you're just going to base it on that, that would put him at 69 catches, right? So if you base everything off what the sports books are doing in PPR leagues, that would be 11.29 fantasy points per game, which would place him at 25th as wide receiver 25. He's going 10 spots later than what the sports books project him to go at right now. which out of the guys at the very top, out of anybody that's considered wide receiver one through wide receiver 36, is the most disproportionate as far as where his value is in fantasy drafts compared to where it is on the betting markets.
Where does Roster Watch officially on your cheat sheets have Juwan Jennings ranked?
Okay, hold on. We have Juwan Jennings.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. We have our world-famous draft kit is live. It's up on the site now. All the team previews, the cheat sheets, it's all there. Juwan Jennings, wide receiver 32.
We have him. Wide receiver 34.
Okay. Great.
Should be, and he could be a little bit higher. The only reason that we have him there is because, honestly, this is interesting. Like, it comes at a point in the draft wherever it's an interesting place to. Dude, Travis Kelce's really. Are you all the way out on Travis Kelce? Because you can get him around the spot where Juwan Jennings is. And I like being on the turn there where I can get Juwan Jennings and Travis Kelce. And sometimes TJ Hawkins falls there. I feel like right there after you get your Bowers, your McBrides, your Kittles, your Sam Laportas off the board, it's like, man, it just feels weird, man, getting Travis Kelce as a wide receiver or as a tight end 6, 7, or 8.
Take it.
I don't know if you have any – like, but so, yeah.
I'm weird. Listen, this is how I feel about this. For so many years, I couldn't draft Travis Kelce because I don't take tight ends in the first round.
Who does that?
People were doing it. There's been many articles written about why Rob Gronkowski should have been a first-round pick for many years and Travis Kelce after him. There's always some case for why Brock Bowers needs to be a first-round pick. It's always there. Every year, there's some narrative about some Sam Laporta and why he belongs in the first round. And it usually flames out in spectacular fashion because tight ends are rarely, if ever, the first read in their offense. Now, with Travis Kelce, he was for a moment in time. Brock Bowers now is for a moment in time. But there's a lot of other reasons why it doesn't make sense. I mean, to take a Travis Kelce over a Christian McCaffrey, right? Or to take a Travis Kelce. In tight end premium, this is a thing that happened, right? So this year, right, if you're looking at Brock Bowers is now going
to go over McCaffrey in a lot of drafts.
A guy like McCaffrey, exactly. And, you know, in previous years, you know, you would have truly elite running backs and wide receivers falling behind the tight end du jour, the tight end of the tight end that everyone's always is falling for some tight end every year. And it rarely, if ever, works out. And tight end metrics are actually straightforward to look at their yards per route run and their athleticism and where they sit in the target pecking order. And it's pretty straightforward to get the good value on late round tight ends, actually. So this year, it's even better. I mean, for so many years, having not had an opportunity to get Kelce, and for now, finally, to be all in on Kelce and getting all this Kelce and gobbling him up, it's like, finally, this is like 10 years in the making.
Sure. And the only reason I bring up Kelce is because the way the cheat sheet works, it's a structural visual tool to where I wanted to make sure that we got some Kelce. So if it was just a straight rankings, Juwan Jennings might be closer to like you guys have 32. But it's crazy to me. The guys going ahead of him that, all right. So Juwan Jennings over the course of the last two seasons being as sporadic a player as you can imagine, as far as his usage, right? Members of the media in there and their, and what is it, Santa Clara, whatever their newspaper is, whatever newspapers cover that. They're always asking, why don't you play Juwan Jennings more? Why don't you play Juwan Jennings more? And you have talked about it before, about the whole Kyle Juszczyk thing and, you know, him saying like, well, we can't do it because, you know, we got to have Juszczyk on the field. If we have him on the field, we got to take off Jennings. Everybody else is healthy, whatever, right? And so his usage has been sporadic. He's not been a frontline player. He just hasn't, right? This is going to be his first opportunity to come into a season like that. Even so, Matt, over the course of the last two seasons, he's gone over 25 PPR points 10% of the time. He goes over 25 PPR points 10% of the time, being this player that was like a situational, you know, and you look at the guys going ahead of him. Jerry Jeudy over the last two seasons has done it 6% of the time. Pickens, 6% of the time. Now, clearly a different situation, right? Chris Godwin, 8% of the time. Jaylen Waddle, 10% of the time. Zay Flowers, 2.8% of the time. Jameson Williams, 3.2% of the time. DK Metcalf, 6.5% of the time. Cortland Sutton, 3.03% of the time. Devontae Smith, 5.88% of the time. Xavier Worthy, 5.26% of the time. Marvin Harrison Jr. going rounds and rounds ahead, 5.88% of the time. Rashee Rice, 8.7% of the time. Last two seasons. I didn't come here to talk a bunch about Juwan Jennings. He's not my biggest target, but just, as we talk about it, there's just a lot of stuff as I'm kind of thinking this over that, you know, really makes sense about the guy. It feels like a real safe pick where he's going.
Absolute smash. Week 18 last year, left the game early, just a 33.8% snap share at the time, had 10 targets. In less than two quarters. Less than two quarters, 10 targets. That's Juwan Jennings, man. That's who he is. And these are late bloomers. So this is a guy who's 27 years old, and he is in his super prime. He has finally, as of last year, been given an opportunity, given the faith of the coaches, and they've committed to him finally. And so this is his time. And he was already a dog, you know, toiling away in anonymity for many years. Now he's a key player for the team. How hard do you think he's going to work now? I bet he's working out right now. I guarantee you right now he is working out. He has like a parachute. He's running with a parachute behind him.
Dude, I just looking at this tool, the 25-plus point games and the scoring distribution, do you realize Chris Olave has never had a 25-point game?
He has a similar ADP to Juwan Jennings on Fast Draft, but in other formats, Chris Olave goes much earlier, and I don't really get it. Chris Olave's ceiling is lower in that offense than Juwan Jennings in his offense.
Crazy. Now it only goes back. It goes back two seasons. Is this Olave's third year or fourth year coming up? Is this third?
Fourth year.
Okay, so I shouldn't say never had a 25 pointer then. So just over the last two seasons, no 25 point games. It's wild, man.
Wow.
So
we're going to talk more about training camp. We this is what happens, Alan. This is what happens. Okay. I want to focus on the roster watch business, and then somehow we talk about Jalen Coker, which inevitably leads us to another late round pick or free agent dog in Juwan Jennings. Next thing you know, we've done the full breakdown of Juwan Jennings and why he's such an incredible pick, why he's a smash, and suddenly a third of the show, you know, we've talked about, you know, a minor element of the roster watch business and a major element of the 49ers offense. We have a lot more to talk about, including, you know, the launching of particular fantasy games, fantasy contests on Fast Draft, and I'll explain, you know, the rationale behind it. We're going to talk more about some of the rationale behind what training camps the roster watch is going to be targeting. It's all coming up after this. Hey, why do we partner with the FFPC? Because they have the widest variety of fantasy football formats, and it's the easiest place to find all types of fantasy football contests in the world. What if you want to play for high stakes? Well, they have a $6 million prize pool with their Fantasy Players Championship. They also have way too early best ball leagues that start in February and dynasty leagues. They have the closest thing to a liquid market for orphans that there is in all of Dynasty. And the FFPC has sponsored us for half a decade because we are actually delivering information that can help fantasy gamers. And they're generating so much interest and bringing in so many new users, casual users even. The FFPC creates a unique experience where you can both compete against the best and make money. Use promo code UNDERWORLD to get $25 off your first team. $25 off your first team at the FFPC with promo code UNDERWORLD. Go get it! Which training camps will you be attending, Alex?
Oh, I don't know, a bunch. I mean, we get to we usually get to, like, you know, up to usually about 18 of them. There are certain ones that just we'll always go to, because there are certain ones that are like Byron always wants to go to, because he loves going to the ones out in LA. He likes the sports media, you know, the sports information people out there. They give us really good access. And he likes going to the coasts. He likes going
to
the West
Coast.
Is this
like in Oxnard, the Dallas Cowboys training camp, where they play the Rams and they play the Chargers and
Rams, Chargers, all that? Then he'll usually go to Vegas, and he'll go to Denver, and then he'll come back. He lives in Florida, so he'll do all the Florida teams. And then Cody now is based out of South Carolina. He usually kind of goes up the East Coast a little bit and then into the Midwest, because he's actually, you know, he's from Minnesota originally. And so he likes to go to the Vikings camp, and sometimes he'll come back through that. Trash Man, it always falls during the time of year. Is that Lollapalooza that they have there? I played at Lollapalooza once whenever I was touring.
What? You played at Lollapalooza?
Yeah, but
were in the crowd at Lollapalooza when you played?
Oh, we weren't at a giant stage or anything. We weren't that big a band.
You were side stage?
No. I forgot what it was. Some kind of the Liegenfugels, you know, that summer shandy beer. I remember they had that backstage.
Okay.
They do that.
Alpha Rev. You're back in your Alpha Rev days.
Yeah. This was on the New Morning. Yeah, it was on the New Morning tour. But that might have been a one-off. I'm not sure if we were even on tour. It doesn't matter. But I think Lollapalooza is during that time of the summer, right? It's late July. Because I think because Trash Man always makes the point to go to Chicago training camp, and he always parlays it into, I think, Lollapalooza. And so from there, he'll go around to I lied to you before the show, because last year he did go to Titans. So he'll go up to Chicago and then come back home through other various camps, right? But generally, Trash Man will handle Rust Belt and then come back down. Generally, man, I go to like Texans, maybe Cowboys once they get back to the Star in Frisco. But I'm here. I'm kind of mission control. I gotta help with getting all the content up, getting it all loaded, getting the intel that we get, and like fixing the cheat sheets and stuff. Or like if we're too high on somebody who's like, man, this guy's not even going to be, you know, go out to the Browns or something like that. And Dylan Sampson's running ahead of Quinshon Judkins or something. Like that's something that I need to change immediately. So I got to be here at Mission Control doing it. I also have
that's a hypothetical.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hypothetical, everybody.
It's not Alex doing that reporting. But I could see it happening, Matt. What I did just earlier this week with the with some of the strength of schedule stuff, some of the stuff that goes into our strength of schedule tool at Roster Watch, it's not just fantasy points allowed from last season, right? That would be stupid, because players change, right? Schemes change. Things change all the time. And so for us, it's really player based. It's like for wide receivers, it's like who's going to be covering them this year? Who's going to, you know, who's playing a corner this year? Who's the new DB's coach this year? But with that being said, one of the other things that I look into is the stuff like the game environment matrix, stuff like that, right? And then, you know, who's going to be in the most dome games, things like this, right?
I understand all that. I get it. But I want to talk about Judkins.
And then, but looking at another thing that we look at is implied team totals, okay? And if you look at the Cleveland Browns over the course of this whole next season, they are not favored in a single game. So they're not favored in one single game. And they're they are. Whatever their week 14 game is, they're favored by 1.5 points in that. And I guarantee you that game is going to be versus New Orleans or versus maybe the Titans or the Jets, right? So their week 14 game, whatever that is, they're favored by 1.5 points. Their average implied team total on the whole season is 18.55 points is their average implied team total this season. To put that in context, the top average implied team totals, the Buffaloes, the Baltimores, the Detroits of the world, these things are north of 26. We're talking about more than a touchdown difference in these games. So how many game scripts are we going to be able to get into, or we pound Quinshon Judkins between the tackles all game long? I mean,
this
I understand that the
offense
they're obviously we're not projecting him to have much scoring opportunity here.
I think he is the sucker pick of the year. I even say fade him in Dynasty because I don't see the benefit of having him in Dynasty. There's a real danger that there's a rug pull on Quinshon Judkins. Dylan Sampson is getting 50%, right? Or they do like a 33-33-33. Imagine that with Jerome Ford.
You're not going to do that.
I know you say that. But we've seen things, man, especially with rookies that suddenly they have one fumble, and next thing you know, you look up and it's 33-33-33. Jerome Ford was efficient last year, and this is not an offense that I'm trying to target. Jerry Jeudy, overrated. Quinshon Judkins, overrated. The only guys that I like are the guys on the fringes, the guys at the back of the draft.
Like Sampson, you can take Sampson with the last pick.
And Tillman.
Tillman.
Yeah. Tillman and Sampson. That's it. Tillman could be the number one. Sampson could be the number one running back. So you just take the guy that could be. There's a chance. Tillman has the ability. If it were me and I were starting a franchise, I would much prefer Cedric Tillman on my team than Jerry fucking Jeudy. Okay.
So would Steve Smith.
I mean, Jerry Judy's just not an impressive player, right? He's just a total opportunist. Cedric Tillman is actually really good. And part of his lack of production was due to being derailed by injury. Really bad timing with his injuries. Like the two players that have had the worst timing with their injuries because opportunity opens up, then they get injured immediately. Cedric Tillman and Roschon Johnson. Easily.
The
worst luck with injuries just based on when the depth chart opens up and they're like, oh no, I'm concussed. Can't start. So that's the way to play it. With these teams that can't score, just go with a guy that is on the fringe of the draft, at the back of the draft. Like we talked about with Dylan Sampson, 4.4% owned in the rabbit. So if he hits at all, you have
how many rounds is the rabbit?
The field. It's just 15 rounds. It's 10 teams, 15 rounds. So it goes 150 players deep. His ADP is 192.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, it's pretty efficient ADP from what you're telling. Like, that's almost exactly what it is. He's just inside the top 200 as far as the average across all those sites that I mentioned earlier.
That's right.
So maybe you're right about looking at the Rabbit's ADP for this stuff.
Yeah, so
it's just one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, two flex.
That's right.
PPR.
Yeah.
Can I navigate to that ADP on my desktop?
Yes.
How?
Yeah. Go to fastdraft.app, and at the top, there is a section called Tournament Data. Right? Tournament Data. So if we go there right now, here you can see it. Okay?
Okay.
So if we look, here we're in the deep past 150.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at this. This is an amazing hotbed of your 15 round options. Round 15, Coker, Marshawn Lloyd, Dylan
Marshawn
Sampson.
Marshawn Lloyd is more owned than Dylan Sampson. Marshawn Lloyd, who has – dude, at least Dylan Sampson has a shot to just become the outright number one for his team. Marshawn Lloyd has none without an injury.
That's correct. That is correct. Dylan Sampson, certainly you could project for more standalone value. Jacory Kroski-Merritt, it's just – Jacory Kroski-Merritt, just the idea that he could carve out a role in that offense is very delightful. There's a lot of fun options here. I like Taj Brooks, but I was talking to Faraz Siddiqui, and he goes to all these senior bowls. He looks at the advanced metrics in college, and he was not impressed with Taj Brooks' yards after contact in college. Did you ever get eyes on Taj Brooks?
Yes. Yeah, man.
What do you think about Taj Brooks? How do you feel about his his football ability?
I'm trying to remember where he went to high school. He was class of 2020. Maynard. I knew it was somewhere around, dude. I've seen him even back at the high school level. Maybe there's some implicit bias here to me that, he went to high school in the little town just west of the little town where my mother's side of the family came here from Sweden and immigrated to, and where they all still live. Right. Prolific high school runner, bowling ball of a runner. I didn't have a yards after contact knock on Taj Brooks in my write-up. So good. I guess, I mean, who was it? I think I know this guy. Do I know him?
Faraz?
Yeah. Have I met him?
Faraz Siddiqui. Yeah. He's at the Senior Bowl. He does great interviews. He's got, he's good with audio visual.
The Instagram guy with the cool cameras.
Yes. He brings great gear.
Yeah. We went to Topgolf with him.
Yeah. He's got 200,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah. He doesn't have much of a Twitter thing, but he's I'll follow you back. Follow you back on X, but I'm much bigger on Instagram or whatever.
Oh, he's huge on Instagram.
Yeah, but so that's cool. I'll have to listen back to that one. When did that come out?
A couple days ago.
Okay.
And by the way, when I was on with Theo, he insisted that I switch over and put on my earbuds, my earbuds I use running. You don't use anything. Do you think that these cans are outdated? Do I look like a boomer with these cans? Ask the chat too. Chat, please let me know. I really find these to be quite comfortable, and I feel like a podcaster when I'm doing it. And Theo insisted that I lose credibility with these cans, and I want the chat to get you. Let me know. Put it in the comments. Do I lose credibility without earbuds? Look at you.
What about this one with the built-in mic?
That's incredible. Dude, you should call a play. down, red 90, red 90.
Orbit. What were we talking about? Oh, Taj Brooks, dude. I mean, I think of Taj Brooks as being a prolific runner, somebody that gets it done, somebody that keeps his legs moving, whether it's not, if the yards after contact is, look, it's a bad class to go and measure all that stuff against, right? With the forced missed tackles, the yards after contact, the elusive ratings, all this stuff, right? It's a very, very elusive class all over. And Taj Brooks is more of just, he's a between the tackles, great vision, foot in the dirt, get upfield, slash kind of guy, right? He plays in a Texas Tech offense where You have Coach McGuire that comes from the Texas high school coaching level, wider splits along the offensive line. He's shown that he's good enough in outside zone to be able to stretch the defense, stick a foot in the ground, get upfield, and drive his legs. And look, I'll tell you one thing: his yards after contact might not be the same as some of these other guys, but he's going to fall forward and keep his legs churning every single time. And I think that represents, honestly, you look at that agility score. Like that's what you see in him, man. He's a agile runner who's a super high BMI. Is he super high BMI? I don't know. I guess you have it right there. He looks like he is.
Yeah, he has 83rd percentile BMI. Okay. And the only reason that his athleticism score isn't higher, it's just in relation to it's 101, like it's well above average. It's just in relation to the class. It wasn't that good because the class was so good. This is what I said to Faraz. You just need to be very careful fading running backs from this class. And one of the ways that you can get an edge in fantasy is basically just investing in rookies from this class, with a few exceptions. One of those exceptions is Quinshon Judkins, because I believe it's very possible that Taj Brooks outperforms Quinshon Judkins. Does he have the same opportunity share as Judkins? No. Does he have more touchdowns? Very probable. Is he going to be in a lot more fantasy point scoring opportunities than Quinshon Judkins? Very possible. If I'm the Bengals, I want to set up Chase Brown for success. And that means giving 40% of the between the tackles touches to Taj Brooks.
Yeah, and we've heard Duke Tobin talk about this when talking about the Bengals and their salary cap situation after doing the big deals with Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins. That's almost 49% of your salary cap wrapped up in three guys.
Yeah,
and so they're saying, like, that's why we have to make sure that we hit in the draft. And he mentioned specifically Amarius Mims and Chase Brown. And you probably don't like being mentioned in this group, because as a player, you'd hate to hear it, but it's informative to us. He's like, we have these guys on, you know, these are our young, like, cornerstone pieces that we have for cheap, right? We can afford it because we've drafted well, we've done, you know, yada, yada, yada. To have all this wrapped up, we feel like we can because we have these guys wrapped up on cheap contracts and stuff. Like, that goes to tell me that Chase Brown, with his front of mind as far as being a cheap contract, like an important part of the team moving forward, of course you want to keep that guy healthy. And with Taj Brooks, just an epic steal in the draft. I mean, we compared him before the draft to, like, what if Ray Davis was in this situation wherever he, you know? It's like, I think Taj Brooks is probably a little bit better than Ray Davis.
Yes.
And so, like, so if he was in a situation like that where you were considering, like, okay, this is like a Ray Davis, this is a Kenneth Dixon plus, this kind of player, right? A Thomas Rawls plus type of player, that, you know, like, why would we not platoon our guy? Why would we not platoon a guy like Chase Brown, who obviously, man, we overstepped our bounds with last season, and we were lucky to come out of that season with that dude, with that guy healthy. That's right?
Yeah.
And then, exactly. and then Zach Brown is Zach Moss is technically still on that roster, but you know that he's not coming back because they did bring back Samaje Perine, who, by the way, is like, how much longer are we going to be doing that? It's Chase Brown. If you take Zach Moss and Samaje Perine out of the equation, which they both should be, it's Chase Brown and it's Taj Brooks. Yes. And other than that, it's literal street and college free agents. It's guys like Kendall Milton and Gary Brightwell.
I don't think they're going to keep Zach Moss because they know Samaje Perine has special teams.
Yeah, dude. And dude, I mean, Zach Moss could have, like, special needs. I mean, it's like he has like, it's a, like, a major neck thing that he had. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could be in big trouble. Like, they were having him last year. Whenever they were having to say about report on what happened with him, they were saying, like, and since it's such an unfortunate circumstance, we're just praying that he can live a healthy life. You know, like, we just wish the best for, like, this. Like, he could have real, like, trouble just even getting through life. Like, sure. He's not going to come back and play football. It's a neck. That can mess with your arms. It can mess with your neck. It can mess with a lot of stuff. It was
mess with your neck.
It was his neck, right? It was his neck.
It can mess with your neck.
Zach Moss.
So when you're trying to figure out the RB3 in Cincinnati, all you need to know is Samaje Perine gives you special teams. Zach Moss, special needs.
I didn't mean it like that. I didn't.
I just needed to hold it on. I was saying everything inside me. I was like, don't break. Don't break. Okay. So there is a question in the chat. There is a chatter, and I should address this because this is the perfect time. This is the business podcast. California is going to be making a decision. The Attorney General of California is going to be making a decision most likely next week, if not the week after, on whether or not they're going to institute any rules changes for the legality of fantasy in California. Okay. And so the chat is asking me to respond to that. By the way, if you like this, if you like us talking business, like the show, share the podcast with your friends, do it. It helps get it to more people. So one of the benefits that we have at Fast Draft is that we have already gone through the process of applying for licenses at all the states, some of the big states that have licensure. And we've been approved in places like Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania happens to have the highest per capita number of fantasy gamers, plus it has like 20 million people in total population. That was a huge effort and a major investment, and that's why we made that investment. That's why we did that, is because we wanted to be open in as many states as possible. So if for whatever reason California decides all fantasy is banned, well, we just opened up a population center in Pennsylvania, and then also all of the non-Ontario provinces in Canada that actually is equal to California in size. So this actually won't affect the liquidity of Fast Draft drafts at all. The drafts will still have a very similar sort of user base, draft volume, so that the drafts can continue to rip off at the pace that they've been ripping off. So we're not worried this is like existential for Fast Draft, because we put in all the work to get licensed in all these other states, and we're going to be getting a license in Michigan and a license in New York very soon. So we're actively working on getting those applications wrapped up and fully processed. The initial applications are in, but there's all these follow-up questions and follow-up documentation requests that Billy and I have to process. And so that'll be, you had Michigan and New York, and all of a sudden there's another sort of population pool that's close to equivalent to California. However, the places or the businesses that are most interested in what's happening in California, they're the ones with the pick'em games, because pick'em games are available in fewer states than traditional fantasy or proper best ball. And that's also what these state AGs are most interested in curbing. Like this already happened in Florida, right? So Florida's AG sent a cease and desist letter to various pick'em platforms. And then that cease and desist letter had to get just sort of addressed by the legal representation, and it never actually impacted the season long fantasy operators, the true best ball operators. So we never had to experience any discontinuing of contests in Florida at all. Like, yeah. We've had continuity of service in Florida all along. So if I had to guess, that is likely what will happen with California, is that there will be some action taken to try to prevent the pick'em games that are seen as, you know, competing against the tribal casinos and the tribal sports books. The tribal sports books and the tribal casinos are very powerful in California.
Yeah.
But the good news is we haven't seen a state ban fantasy outright in maybe close to 10 years, like the state of Washington. So this would be fairly unprecedented, especially in recent history, for a state to just decide we're going to ban all of fantasy. And it's also particularly hard to do without an act of the legislature or a one of these referendums. And California has these referendums. So whether or not the attorney general can simply just ban a particular activity without, you know, independently, that's that remains to be seen. So again, worst case scenario, we're set up for success at Fast Draft, and you know, best case scenario is that the decision is no. We've decided. The people have spoken. The polling shows that 70+% of people don't want fantasy sports to be banned, certainly, but they don't want it to be affected by government regulation at all. So ideally, that's best case scenario. Fantasy remains unchanged. The ability to operate remains unchanged in California. And then this maybe more likely scenario is that the season-long operators, the best ball operators, are able to continue to offer their games, but the pick'em contests need to be modified, or you know, and that's probably negotiable. So that's the spectrum of outcomes that we're expecting in California. But yeah, if you're a fantasy operator, you need to be planning for all of these potential outcomes.
We've certainly dealt with it in Texas with, fantasy. Well, okay. So you mentioned it earlier, parlay prop sites, which is what Prize Picks and Underdog Pick'em Lobby and these things are, right? I mean, they're player props and you parlay them and you get a multiplier and, you know, but what they're calling it is daily fantasy because you're putting together a team, right, of player projections, right? And you're choosing whether it goes higher or lower and stuff like that. And they're saying, all right, well, this is daily fantasy sports, I've always thought, you know, I've always told you when you're doing the Fast Draft stuff, I'm like, it's probably easier for you because it's like really fantasy. You know, you're not having to talk anybody into, like, they're saying, wait, this isn't fantasy. You're having to say, oh, yes, it is, because of this and this and this, right? It's like they look at it.
The most fundamental difference is that ours is peer-to-peer, where people are drafting against each other.
Yeah.
And the operator takes a rake of the action. In the pick'em contests, the ones that are the biggest ones, the biggest pick'em contests, they're against the house, where the house sets the payout structure, and whether you hit or not, it's just between you and the house. So that's a fundamental difference in the contests.
Sure. Okay.
But yes, one of the things that we, planned originally, we weren't sure what was going to end up happening with pick'ems, and frankly, pick'ems is not something that I am as interested in. I'm much more interested in the act of drafting and talking about ADPs and all these things. And so the games that we've rolled out, whether it's Flex 4, like the super streamlined, just draft six guys, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, or like a full best ball game like the Rabbit, it's always about, hey, I'm drafting a fantasy team, right? I have the 101. You have the 109, whatever it is. We're drafting fantasy teams. And the way we conceptualize the business is, well, if you can draft fantasy teams faster, then you can give people the convenience that they like about Prize Picks and Underdog, but in a proper draft experience. And then if there is a ruling in California that is specific to Pick'em DFS, then we'll be unaffected.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I think that that's a likely dude. I've, you know more about it than I do because I'm not an operator. I'm a content provider in this space. Right. But I've been in this, you know, coming up on 2 decades doing this. And, so I follow it closely. Right. And so when I was reading from what the California AG was saying, this guy seems like a tyrannical kind of moron, man. And he's not alone out there, by the way.
Can you not do that?
But what?
Can you please not do that?
Do what?
Okay. Think about it.
The California AG. He seems stupid.
I'm not saying that. Just so everybody knows, I'm not saying that. The founder of Fast Draft is not saying that. Another guy that I'm podcasting with is saying that, and I don't know the Attorney General of California, and as far as I can tell, he's a well-balanced and thoughtful individual.
I'm sure.
And I'm sure whatever decision he comes down will have been, again, he will have consulted with lots of different parties. He will have, you know, spoken to his constituencies and made a decision that's in the best interest of Californians. I'm sure of that, Alex.
So from his quotes that I've read, now that you've properly kissed the ring, from the quotes that I've read, he's saying fantasy sports in general, not just pick'em, fantasy sports in general is not a game of skill because you have no control. It's like a non sequitur. He says, because you have no control over the performance of the athlete that you're making the prediction regarding. And so by hook or by crook, it can't be a game of skill because you do not have control over that player's body, that player's intentions, whatever else. Right. Whereas it's been proven. It's actual legal precedent that was done. And I forget what was the IEGA. What was that thing back in the early 90s, late 80s, where it was found federally. The fantasy sports is a game of skill. It's like there's already precedent for that. For somebody to make that the bedrock of their opening salvo, like I don't understand how that's the issue that you have with this, and like you don't have enough to deal with, man.
It's like that element of it is settled law, which is why typically you're going to need an act of the legislature or a referendum from the people, from the residents, the citizens that say, hey, we want this or we don't want this. You typically have settled law. This is what it is. And taking action against something that is settled law or disagreeing with it is going to be grounds for then there to be some legal battle between whoever is the target and the Attorney General. And, you know, when we've seen these unilateral moves made by Attorney Generals, like we saw in Florida, typically what ends up happening is it gets pulled into the courts. And then there's a whole elongated process for it to be reviewed. And then in the meantime, you know, the fantasy operators were able to continue operating until there's, you know, a final decision made. But sometimes that can be years away. And what typically is they're going to say, hey, you got to go back and you got to go through, you know, the full legal channels if you want to change, you know, what's available in the marketplace for your citizens. And so fundamentally we're standing on solid ground, especially if you know, like we know, that we're not the target of the operation anyway, where they've been very clear that who they're targeting are the pick'em contest operators that have games that are, you know, similar to what you would get in a sports book, where no one is interested. I can promise you, the Attorney General of California is not interested in making it hard for grandpa to join a fantasy league. He's not trying to do that. Okay. So my hope is, and for the last 10 years with the FSGA and others advocating for fantasy sports, lawmakers and decision makers at the state level have realized this, right? That's why you have, again, it's been like 10 plus years since the state of Washington banned all fantasy. Whereas recently you have seen a Michigan, a New Jersey, a New York regulate and sometimes prohibit the pick'em games specifically. So so recent history is on our side at Fast Draft in particular.
Yeah, for sure. And I was trying to think of it. It was the UIGEA, the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006, which explicitly carved out an exemption for fantasy sports. And that was based on a U.S. District Court finding in 2007 in Humphrey versus Viacom, wherever it said that the court distinguished fantasy sports from gambling, ruling that entry fees in fantasy sports competitions were not classified as wagers. So that's what that's all from. So I just like the whole thing. I just think that he leads with Game of Skill. Makes me think that this whole thing might be like he's a cockamamie and the whole thing might just go down the tubes.
We'll see what happens. We're all going to see what happens together. And I know you got to get out of here. I promise we'll get you out of here. And I hope that Alan better be happy. Alan, we really dug into the details here. We pulled up legal cases. We really dug into the business here, Alan. And there's more to talk about too, in terms of just like what contests we're rolling out. I have a whole sort of product roadmap for Fast Draft in the next show. So tune into the next Content Kings. We'll talk about the product roadmap for Fast Draft, how we ended up rolling out the contests we did in the order that we did and what we have coming out in the future. So that's going to be, have to wait for the next show for that, the next episode. But in the meantime, I want to tell you my favorite stack. Remember, I did this mock or these mock drafts in the Rabbit, and a stack, because we talked about Jalen Coker, and I can't let you leave the show. We can't end the show talking about just Jalen Coker, because I love these Panthers passing game stacks. I'm talking about Bryce Young with Tet McMillan, Jalen Coker, Jatavion Sanders. I love it all. These Panther stacks, I think the Panther stacks are the best value stacks you're going to find. Think about the pass volume. You want negative game script? That's what you want if you're trying to invest in the passing game, just like you want positive game script, you're going to invest in the running game. That's why Pacheco is a better option this year than Quinshon Judkins. Number one reason, positive game script in Kansas City. You have negative game script in Cleveland. Well, you get a lot of negative game script in Carolina. That's why I'm not too interested in drafting Chuba Hubbard, but I want Bryce, Tet, Coker, even Adam Thielen. There's case to be made for every member of this passing game. Do you agree?
Yeah. I think that it's interesting. I think finding the secondary piece to the stack outside of Tet is going to be what separates the men from the boys here, man. You're right. The mice from the men. Like, you're going to have to probably to do those stacks a couple times. One with a Tet, JT Sanders, a Tet, Coker, a Tet, Thielen. But I do think that, yeah.
Tell you who you're not doing it with. Leggett.
Who?
Leggett.
Xavier Leggett? No.
Leggett. Forget about it. How about Xavier? Forget about it. Is that good?
Yeah, no, it's, I think so. I think that another one that's interesting that I've been finding myself getting a lot, and it's just based on the ADPs, and it's because I really like Nico Collins. As man, I'm just kind of betting on a little bit of a bounce back here from the Houston Texans and getting CJ Stroud just super, super late with your, 12th, 13th round pick. And you can easily, manage to get Jaden Higgins and or Jalen Noel along the way. And the more and more and more I think about it, I think Jalen Noel takes that job from Christian Kirk. within the first six games of this next season. So I like, you know, in case it doesn't happen, you can mix in Kirk for any of those doubles. But I think that the whole thing where you can get CJ Stroud, a dude that everybody and their mother was having, is like, oh, he's the number one. He should be the number one pick in your super flex dynasty drafts, right? You know, or what, top four pick? Dude, you can't give me that look. At this point last year, you guys probably had CJ Stroud top three in super flex dynasty before last season happened.
I'd have to go back and look. But I can show you the ADPs. The ADPs in the rabbit. We have Christian Kirk and Noel are adjacent. 163 for Noel, 164 for Christian Kirk.
And double the ownership on Noel. Or
double the ownership. That's why I kind of prefer Kirk here. I gotta prefer Kirk. He's got 1 year left of true fantasy production in the NFL. You see this happen. Age 29, he's going to have his swan song fantasy year, and then it'll be over. But I think you have one more year left of Christian Kirk being fantasy relevant and delivering some spike weeks with Nico Collins.
And then and then the other one that's just super easy to get is, look, man, it's a third-round Tyreek Hill. It's a sixth or seventh round Jalen Waddle, and it's a 11th round Tua Tagovailoa, and you're telling me that couldn't go absolutely nuclear, and nobody wants it in best ball. The easiest double stack that you can make.
Okay, so before we get to that, okay, I do want to mention that Bryce Young is a much better quarterback than Tua, and he's in a much better situation. And when you go to Player Profiler, I just want to show you this. Go to the passing opportunity for Bryce Young. Look at these two stats. Top 10 pace of play, bottom 3 game script. Negative, highly negative game script, top 10 pace of play, plays per minute for Bryce Young. That right there, those two stats together, plus the 250-plus rushing yards each and every season, had 6 rushing touchdowns last year, mean that Bryce Young is an incredible 2 QB super flex and best ball value. And when it comes to Tua, let's be straight here. You think Tua plays 17 games? You think Tua is going to be quality best ball option, a spike week option? Even though his efficiency's been in decline, he has some of the worst pocket awareness. He now has no offensive line, and he has to hold the ball for Tyreek Hill to get open downfield. You really think that this is not too risky of a pick, especially in best ball? You're taking your second quarterback. You need to know he's going to play. We know Bryce Young's going to play.
No, you don't. I'm not trying to go out here and get 102nd place and just peter by. I want a team that's going to go nuclear.
Tua is not going to go nuclear. The way to go nuclear is not with Tua Tagovailoa.
The way that Tyreek Hill has gone nuclear every time that we've seen him in Miami has been due to Tua Tagovailoa. If he can stay healthy, if we can get another year of Tyreek, if we can have Tua healthy, and we don't have to have a bunch of, it can't be anything like last season. But that's why you're getting him in the third round now, because last season happened.
I am fading all the Dolphins. No Dolphins. Just say no to Dolphins. Now, with the exception, a little bit of Ollie Gordon. I like a little bit of Ollie Gordon in Dynasty. That's the one. Ollie Gordon in Dynasty, that's all I could possibly recommend on the Dolphins. And some Jalen Waddle in best ball.
And you're going to recommend...
Partly the reason why I like Jalen Waddle in best ball is because of Byron's report from training camp.
Well, did you say Jonnu Smith too? You're in on Jonnu?
No. No, there's only so many options. David Njoku, Travis Kelsey, JT Sanders. There's a handful of these late round tight ends in various tiers in the draft, like Hunter Henry, that I'm drafting, and I just can't do it. I can't do it. You mentioned TJ Hockenson. Once TJ Hockenson, if he slips, he's the first tight end I'm really considering in drafts. And then at every point, there's going to be a Kelsey, an Ingram, an Njoku, a Henry, a Sanders, and I don't need to be drafting Jonnu Smith. No thanks. This is my core feeling about the Miami Dolphins is this. Or this. But maybe it's really more like this.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand. Through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.